Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 9th of December, and I am recording at 10:17 p.m. in what remains an exceptionally mild London, and even sunny earlier today. Okay, what's going on in the financial markets here? Well, nervousness sums it all up in one word. Investors are anxious. This is reflecting, well, I guess, concerns about the duration of the bull market, concerns about what actually happens on the testing of the highs, concerns about some of the intraday volatility that we've been seeing, no less again here today. Concerns about the whole war effort against Daesh, concerns, you know, just ongoing concerns. Not that the problems are dramatically worse than anything else that we see. So I think it just says it's more about not so much the news, but just this general cautious attitude that investors feel. Now, a contrarian indicator arriving on the scene, I beg your pardon, a contrarian thinker arriving on the scene and just checking it all out, I think would say, well, people are mostly bearish. And that's certainly my impression. And that, I think, is probably a good indicator to suggest that we have, we can easily see further ranging consolidation, a little bit more of a pullback, but that we don't have a serious risk. And that's pretty much my view, but let's run through a few of these markets now. Asia Pacific, the sector was generally weak. Japan down almost 1% on the Nikkei 225. Little bright spot, well, not all that bright, Shanghai Composite just up a fraction. Less than a tenth of a percent, though, on the day. Everything else is pretty much lower, although one of the Korean indices was a fraction higher as well. Biggest declines, well, the Sensex was down over 1%, almost 1.08%, Nifty down 1.16%. Jakarta Composite Index down 1.27%. So bears still in charge as we have this reaction and consolidation following over short-term overbought conditions for a lot of indices, although less so in among the Asia Pacific markets, which have been out of favor generally for quite a few months. The European indices, again, these were higher this morning, but those gains did not last really beyond much beyond midday here. And declines, not all that big. The biggest ones, Switzerland, 0.88%. Sweden down almost 1%, Germany down 0.75%, France down almost 1%, Stocks 50 down 0.75%. The UK index, which has been underperforming here for months because of the weight of resources companies in the among the 100. Only down 0.14% here today as some of those commodities were rallying once again. More on that in a moment. Wall Street, this was volatile on an intraday basis. If you just look at the closes, well, the Dow was only down 0.43, the S&P down 0.77, and the NASDAQ down 1.48%. But Early in the day, they had a strong rally. I think the Dow was up nearly 200 points. Then it fell by over 100 points before closing down 75. So again, choppy, choppy up near the former highs. Hasn't corrected the oversold conditions yet. It's in the process of doing that, but again, I guess there's a little further to go. And that's enough to make investors nervous. Now, I said commodities a little steadier, Canada a fraction higher, Mexico a third of a percentage point higher, and Brazil a welcome 3.75% higher. That's the biggest gain on the day among the indices that I can actually see, which are virtually all of the really important ones, or the bigger ones, I should say. Now, elsewhere, looking at US Treasuries, these are subdued 2.216%. So people certainly aren't giving up those bond positions. And I think it's these are regarded as bolt hole positions, and they're going to stay with that until they get frightened out by strongly rising yields. And I think that will happen, but it's certainly not happening here right now. VIX, this was interesting because it was lower early in the day, closed 2 points higher. So big outside day if you look at the chart, closing up near the highs at 19.61. Again, that just highlights the growing nervousness among investors generally. So again, market tried to rally today, couldn't pull it off. But it's there's so much uncertainty in here on this day-to-day basis to repeat that point. Okay, now here's a really interesting development. The US dollar index. Now remember that got whacked, I think it was last Thursday, and it steadied a little on Friday, steadied a little on Monday. And Tuesday, a little again, edging higher. Well, it's got clipped in here today, down over a full point. It's currently at 97.381, after a low which was 97.223. So took another big hit. So that's two big hits within, in 5 days, 5 trading days here overall. Now, first starting with that big downward dynamic off the high, as I mentioned, last Thursday. So failing to maintain that break above the 100 level, and then after a 3 day rally, partially recovering, then getting clipped again here today. To me, I've said this before, and I'll certainly say it again. I think the U.S. Treasury Department is intervening at the Fed's request, and that's the only way I can explain this action. And because you've got, everybody and his brother out there who's appears on the talk shows and Bloomberg and CNBC have been saying the dollar is a no-brainer. Well, we know we don't like a consensus view overall, but who would come in and aggressively sell the dollar? And another view that was widely held was that the euro could only go down and that we would be back to parity before very long, and well, here's the euro today, 1.1021. I'll repeat that because you probably didn't take it on board. It's such a surprise. Eyebrow raiser, 1.1020. So 110, up over 110. That's really, really interesting. But again, it's the dollar's weakness generally. Now, Chinese renminbi is slowly being devalued in here. It's just little in little increments. I don't think it's going to be a huge devaluation, but it's certainly going lower. The Indian rupee just it's It has weakened a little bit over the last few months, but really one of the stronger of the Asia Pacific currencies. But it has eased against the US dollar. It's been ranging just a little below that 68 rupees to the dollar. Okay, others in here of interest. Sterling would have been a little higher, and 1.5181. That's certainly stronger in here today. But isn't that interesting, that dollar action? And that's first now at a time when everybody's scared to death and everything looks worrying, or sentiment is, well, I've already mentioned sentiment. I regard that dollar index pullback as exceptionally good news. The worst thing that could have happened, in my opinion, would have been another sprint to the upside, which would have been too much to swallow. Really, for the U.S. stock market, it would have hurt earnings, hurt U.S. economic recovery. The Fed certainly knows that and would be very concerned about it. And the Fed was also concerned that the rate hike might compound upward pressure on the dollar, so they come in and intervene. And that is, as I say, very good news. It also takes some of the heat off the countries that had borrowed in US dollars when it was really considerably weaker, although they aren't off the hook by a long by any extent. But at least the problem isn't getting worse. Now, softer dollar meant somewhat firmer commodities. The palladium here, 552 and change, that's up nearly $4.50. Silver can't hold its rallies very often, but for up 7 cents to $14.17. Platinum here, 1170 higher at 858, and gold bullion. Well, actually, gold is, at the lateness of the hour there. They've did just changed the prices. Let me look down for the futures. I think gold was up just a dollar or so. But at any rate, here's gold bullion right now, 107. 1073. So they haven't really rallied much in here today. What did rally? Well, not really in the crude sector. WTI weak, 37.21. Brent 2 cents higher at 40.28, having been down to 39.57 earlier today. White sugar is higher. Refined sugar. Coffee's a little higher in here. Greens and beans a little bit higher overall. As the industrial metals were mostly a little higher in here today. They might have all been higher actually. And copper, New York copper 206.45. So somewhat steadier resources. Now, what about those resources? Because the standard view here is that, well, they're going to be weak throughout 2016, and maybe then things get a little better somewhat later in 2017. Well, I don't like a consensus, or I'm always very wary, I should say, of a consensus view, and they are usually wrong. My feeling is that we are in a bottoming out phase. That doesn't mean we've touched all the lows. Clearly we haven't, but that we are really in a basing phase. Why? Why? Because the commodity story is all about supply. And that's much more important than demand. The really dramatic changes occur in supply. And where you've seen some sharp rallies in some of the agricultural commodities, that isn't because demand has picked up. It's because there have been crop problems. But now with the industrial metals, why would I be feeling a little bit more optimistic there, or that they are in a bottoming process? Well, you're getting the dividends cut here. You're getting production production cut. I think you've had a fair number of production cuts across the sector. Companies don't beat a drum when they do that, for the most part. But among the bigger ones, well, Anglo American, they've really downsized. And it all started with Glencore on making its production cuts back in, was it in August, I think? So certainly among the bigger miners, we're actually seeing that. And I think that we will see some more production cuts. And I think that's also happening, but not sufficiently, not significantly, I mean, with the oil producers. But what is changing is the demand side. Consumption for instance, consumption of gasoline is rising because it's cheap. And that we see in the U.S., people buying the bigger cars. Now, so demand is increasing, supply is still high, and needs to follow what we're starting to see now quite clearly in the miners, where we're getting those production cutbacks. If we see, we need to see a little bit more of that coming from, say, the oil producers. But the trouble is that whereas with the miners, it's mostly private companies that are producing that supply, whereas oil production, largely governments. And we know from what happened earlier this month that at least that young Saudi, 30-year-old Saudi prince, son of the king, he was not interested in cutting supply at this month's earlier meeting. But they will at some point in the not too distant future, is my forecast. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.